Okay, turn to Colossians chapter 1. And like I said, it seems like it's been 6 months since I've been up here. And I think God's timing's perfect. And I think everything happens for a reason. And I think that what I planned on doing on the 15th of December, I'm doing on the 29th. And there's a reason to it, and I think the good Lord wants me to hear this. I'm probably going to be speaking to myself as much as I am anybody in here. The 8th, which was the last time we were up here 3 weeks ago, we did started one of a two-part series called Who in the World is Jesus? And I spoke about the story of Les Feldick, how an individual came to speak to him as he was coming in from his ranch work one day. They sit down at his in his kitchen at his table. And the man asked him, he said, "Who in the world is Jesus Christ?" And Les said, of the thousands of people that came through his, you know about it, that came through his kitchen, he said that was the one question that stuck out to him. And what a better question could we ask, especially at this time of year, is who in the world is Jesus Christ? Well, back on the 8th, we spoke about who he was to Israel, the Messiah, the fulfillment of prophecy, born under the law, a minister of the law to Israel. They were to accept him as Messiah. He was going to be the deliverer of Israel. Okay? But who is he to us today? So, Colossians may not be where you would think of if you go for Christmas scripture. But Paul was writing, remember the environment that he's in. He's writing to the Christians at Colossae. The city was under the influence of what came to be known as Gnosticism. So you've got to remember, when Paul's writing individual letters to these churches or to these groups, there's certain things that they're being faced with that he is addressing primarily that maybe you and I don't deal with as much today, but it's still very relevant. Okay, they believed in Gnosticism and what was called dualism. That was the idea that matter is evil and spirit is good. So the spirit is good, but anything here on earth in matter, people, objects, rocks, grass, dirt, whatever, it's all been tarred. It's all evil. Okay? They believe because God was a spirit or is a spirit that he's good, but because of that, he could never touch matter, which is evil. So he could never become part of this world. Okay? Because it's evil. Therefore, they also concluded that God could not be the creator of the physical universe, because how could he create something that was evil? Okay? Also, it would mean that he was responsible for evil if he created that. But there was one other thing that's huge for this time of year as we address. They taught that God could never become a man, because as a man, he would have to dwell in a body made out of evil matter. So as he went into Colossae, they were being hit with this. Jesus did not come in the flesh. Jesus could not be the Son of God. Jesus could not be God the Son, because all of this material down here, this body, this flesh, everything here is evil. It's impossible. So that's what they're being hit with. Okay? So in Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 and 16. So Paul, writing to the Colossians, says, he, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, or replica. The replica, okay? The firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth. So Paul's answering that. Yes, he did create the spiritual world, the heavens, but he created matter, the earth. He created all of it. Okay? He, because he is God the Son. The visible, the invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. So we think of Jesus just as this guy wandering around in robe and sandals. Jesus was the creator. Jesus is God the Son. One third of the Trinity, God the Son. Okay? Now, turn to John chapter 1, the Gospel of John, chapter 1. John says the same thing. They're totally in agreement. Okay, we're going to go verse 1 through 3. And these are very familiar verses. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, the communicator. So you think about back in the creation story, when God said, let there be light, there was light. God the Son, he communicated. He spoke things into existence. Okay? That's the Word. It communicates. We have the Word today that communicates to us. We don't have to guess. We have God's Word. God is the Word, okay? He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him. And apart from him, not even one thing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of mankind. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not grasp it. So, in the beginning, before everything started, God was there. He was the Word. The Word was God. He spoke all this. People will look at where it says the firstborn of all creation in Colossians 1, 15 and 16. Jehovah's Witnesses will tell you, well, Jesus was created. God the Son. It says here that he created before everything, anything was ever here. God was here. God the Son. Jesus was here. So God commuted everything into existence. Now, stay in John 1, but in between there, keep your finger where you have it, and I want you to see, turn to Ephesians 3 right quick. And we're just building the case here from what we're going to get into. Remember, who in the world is Jesus? Who is Jesus? It's the perfect question for today at Christmas. As we go into the new year, it's the perfect question. Who is Jesus to us? Like I said, don't turn away from John 1. We'll go back there. So Paul was given these mysteries that had been kept quiet, who mankind didn't have access to until Jesus unveiled these mysteries to him. And there were several. And one here in verse 9, Ephesians 3 verse 9, was to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which is from the beginning of the world, that has been hid in God, who created all things by Christ Jesus. So Christ Jesus created all things. So when Paul speaks to these people in Colossae, and they're being hit with all these belief systems, all this Gnosticism, that number one, Christ could not have been the creator because the world we live in is evil. And then, well, why is that important to us? Then they say, well, if that's the case, he could not have come to earth as a man. Okay? Paul is taking all this and saying, here's the truth. God the Son is the creator. Now, turn back to John 1, verses 14 through 18. Here is the Christmas message. So who in the world is Jesus Christ to us at Christmas? It's right here in the first few words. Here is the Christmas message. Verse 14. And the Word became flesh, and flesh dwelt among us. I saw Greg Laurie at the first of the, this has probably been back around Thanksgiving. He had already started Christmas. And he said something that hit me, and it hits me here with this. And as I was looking up this stuff, it stayed with me. And he said the Christmas message is that God came to earth as a man in the flesh so we could have a relationship with him. That is the Christmas message. God came to earth. Okay? And the Word became flesh. Well, who was the Word? We know who the Word was. The Word was God. And we saw His glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. So they seen Him. John saw Him. Paul talks about the apostles that saw Him. The 500 that saw Him after He was resurrected. They've seen Him. John testified Him, talking about John the Baptist, about Him and called out saying, this was He of whom I said, He who is coming after me has proved to be my superior because He existed before me. For of His fullness, the Trinity, we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. We've talked about this and talked about it. Moses gave the law, but grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. Grace and truth came through Jesus. The grace that we needed to be saved and came into relationship with God came through Jesus. The law could do nothing for us except let us know we were sinners. Grace and truth came through God the Son who came to earth. Okay? No one has seen God at any time. But God, the only Son who is in the arms of the Father, He has explained Him. So you go all the way through the Old Testament, they could never see God. They could never see Him. They wouldn't be able to visualize Him. But God the Son came to earth just as we are. And looked like us, and lived like us, and ate like us, and breathed like us. So it would have an impact on our lives that we'll get into that's so important as we go through our day-to-day lives. God, or Christ, came in a fleshly form while still keeping His deity. Colossians 2:9 says, for in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. It's all in Christ. Now, so not only did He come to earth, not only did He create everything, why is that important? Why is it important that He came to earth in a fleshly body and experience what we experienced? It means He identifies with us. I have needed this week. I need it today. As things that we've gone through as a family, and you know, Judy texts me earlier before church started, her brother has a stroke, and the prayer list, and there's death, and there's sickness, and you know, Jim's having surgery tomorrow, and you know, it's easy to look at it and say, well, maybe I'm the only one going through tough times. I'm not even close. We all are. We all need the Lord. And we all need the comfort that comes from praying just to know that God not only hears and cares, but He identifies with us. No matter what we're going through, because He came to earth and took part and experienced the things that we experienced, we're serving a God who identifies with us. Turn to Hebrews chapter 4. No matter what you're going through, He identifies. And I know for me, it's been easy to worry the last few days and just get overcome by fear. That's one thing I said with Morgan. I had was worried. Part of me was hoping that she'd, for the last few years, I said, Lord, I just hope she never gets pregnant. I hope she never does, because I worry about, with her body, things that she'll go through. And I've told ladies here in the last few days that some of those, it's like your worst fears come to fruition. And then your mind runs away with you, and then you worry. And we all do that. We worry. We've all been in situations where we worry, and we doubt, and we're human, and those things happen. But then we remember that everything that we've been through, Christ went through. Hebrews 4, 15 and 16. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but one who has been tempted in all things, and as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy. Remember, he said a while ago that God the Son gave mercy and grace. Moses gave us the law. Christ came to earth in a human form to give us grace and mercy. And now we can come to him boldly with confidence to the throne of grace and find grace and help for our time at the time of our need. And there's so many of us, as we took prayer requests today, we're in situations right now where this is the time of our need. We have time. This is it. Okay? Or we're going through things, or we have gone through things. And we can go through Christ, go to Christ, because he's been there. He understands it, no matter what your situation is. I wasn't a Christian at the time, but there was something that weighed, influenced me very heavily. It's been about 8 to 10 years ago. I grew up in East Tennessee, and there was a family there. They were the Parkers. Wayne Linnell Parker was the husband and wife. And he was from Decatur, Alabama. She was from New Jersey. They both were students at the University of Alabama back in the 60s. He played football there. She was a cheerleader. She was from New Jersey. They met, started dating there, got married. He ended up, played football for Bear Bryant. He ended up going to Samford when he got out of school, got his pharmaceutical degree. Went to East Tennessee on a vacation to Pigeon Forge, loved it, never came back. Opened up a pharmacy where I grew up, Newport. And Christian people, great people. Linnell died about 8 years ago, cancer. And the last few months, last few weeks are really bad. And she suffered a lot. So when they had the funeral, they had it in Newport, and I hadn't seen them in 20 years. Well, they had the graveside in Decatur, so I went to Decatur to see them. First time I'd seen them since probably mid-90s, 95, 96, right around that range. It's been 20 years. So there were a few people there at the graveside. Well, Wayne stood up at the grave and recited the 23rd Psalm after his wife had died. And I was impressed by that. And I said, boy, that just took a lot of guts and a lot of courage. And he wanted me to go back home with him after I hadn't seen him. So I went home with him and the family. We sat around and talked. And I told him, I said, Wayne, that was impressive. I couldn't have done it. And he said, you know something? He said, the last few weeks were really, really bad. He says, it got as bad down the stretch as you can imagine. But I never will forget what he said. He said what she went through was a drop in a bucket compared to what Christ suffered. For me, for her, for all of us. What he suffered on the cross, what he suffered with Pilate, what he suffered the night before. He took our sins upon him on the cross. Everything that we have experienced, everything that in our toughest times, Christ went through it. And even more so, sickness, death, Christ went through that. Rejection. Christ went through that. Family problems, family issues. Christ went through that. Poverty. He didn't have anywhere to lay his head. Christ went through that. He said there was times that he hungered and nobody fed him. Times that he didn't have anywhere to lay his head. Nobody housed him. He talked about that. There's nothing that we go through in this life that Christ did not go through. God the Son, who left heaven and came here to experience all that. So when we go to him boldly, as it says in Hebrews, in the throne of grace, we're going to somebody who says, I understand. I've been there. You're worried about your daughter, your sickness. You're worried about family members. I've been there. You're worried about money situation. I've been there. You're worried about a family situation. I've been there. You're worried about death. I've been there. You're worried about spiritual things, about temptations, about anything that you can think of. I've been there. So I know when Jim goes through surgery tomorrow and we pray for him and pray for the family and all that, we're going to somebody who understands. God the Son, who understands, who's been there. Well, no matter what we've experienced. When we go through issues, like I said, so many issues, he understands because he has been there. It says, let us approach the throne of grace with confidence so we may receive mercy and find grace for help at the time of our need. He lived without sin. He was the perfect sacrifice, resurrected, passed into the heavens so that we may receive mercy and find grace for help in our time of need. Now, let's go back to the Advent. Joseph and Mary found grace in their times of worry and fear. Turn to Matthew. I've got Matthew 4. I think it's supposed to be Matthew 1. Matthew 1, 18 through 25. You know, when we think about births, all you ladies have gone through that. You've given birth and, you know, you've had children. You've seen your children have grandchildren. And you go through that and you think about everything we have now in our age, the doctors and the nurses and the technology and so many things to where you're able to successfully have that. Then if there's problems afterwards, just things that modern medicine can take care of. And it puts you at ease in a way. And they try to make it as easy and as comfortable as they can make it, but there was nothing about the birth of Jesus that was comfortable at any time. It tested their faith, but it lets us see Mary's faith and Joseph's faith. Because it was a difficult situation. So look at Matthew 1, 18 through 25. Now the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph before they came together, she was found to be pregnant by the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, since he was a righteous man, did not want to disgrace her and planned to send her away secretly. So stop right there. You're Joseph. You're engaged to Mary. Now you got to remember, the angel, the Holy Spirit, had not come and speak to him yet. Okay? So all he knows is this. He's engaged to Mary, and Mary turns up pregnant. You think about what Joseph's going through right there. You think that's easy? He's like, what in the world? I mean, he's blindsided, I'm sure. What in the world? How did this happen? What are you doing? What's going on here? I mean, blind, totally blindsided. Put yourself in his shoes, how you would feel. But he was still such a good person that now he's worried about Mary. The same way that I worried about Morgan and Kathy worried about Bree and you worried about your children when they had children or people in your family. Joseph's concern turned to Mary. He was a good man. Well, he was going to send her away secretly. He knows how people are. He doesn't want her to have that embarrassment and that ridicule, so he's just going to hide her until she has the baby. They went through things. This is a tough situation. But when he had thought it over, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, now he hears, okay? Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you shall name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place so that what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet would be fulfilled. Behold, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. God, that's what Emmanuel, that's the Christmas message. God with us. He's with us. He's with us today. He's with us right now, this second. And Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and she named him Jesus. So Joseph, he's got all these concerns. Now he's concerned about Mary. So turn to Luke chapter 1. Now he appears to Joseph. Now the angel's going to appear to Mary. We talked about Joseph's concerns. This is hard for Joseph. Okay? At first, his fiancée turns up pregnant. Once he understands what's going on, he's worried about what people are going to say about her. And then that's not even worrying about the health issues that we worry about today. Doesn't even speak about that. This is on top of everything that we experience in these situations, right? Now in verses 26 through 38. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into the city in Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you. But she was very perplexed at this statement and was pondering what kind of greeting this was. So she's confused. And the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and give birth to a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. But Mary said to the angel, how will this be since I'm a virgin? The angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will be called the Son of God. The Holy Child will be called the Son of God. I'm sorry. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth herself has conceived a son in her old age, who was called infertile, is now in her sixth month. So nothing shall be impossible of God. And Mary said, behold, the Lord's bondservant, may it be done to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. So think about the fears of a young, expectant couple. I went and listened. Many of you know Jerry Wayne Franks. And they had a son, Bradley. Bradley is Down syndrome. A lot of you know Bradley. And he talked about when they were in the hospital and when Bradley was born. And then as he had these signs and he knew something was different. And he had Down syndrome. And he talked about how scared they were as just a young couple, early 20s probably, how afraid they were as a family, as just a young mom and dad, not knowing what the future is. The world's out there in front of them, and there's no promises. They didn't know how it was going to be. I heard Gene Stallings, who used to coach Alabama, his son had Down syndrome. And I never will forget it. I was driving back from Gulf Shores, and he was on the radio. I was going through Montgomery, and he was talking about his son. And he said, I'll never forget, when he was born, the doctor came to me, and you got to remember, this would have been back 60 years ago or longer, and they had different ways of saying things. He said, the doctor came to me and he said, your son's mongoloid. And he said, I almost fainted. And he said, I wanted to punch him. I almost fainted. And he said, I remember going to God and praying and saying, God, change him. Change him. And he said, I never understood how this boy God would use to change me. And he said, that changed me to become a godly man and a better man and to grow more than anything else could have possibly happened. God uses everything for his timing and his perfect will. Always. But there's this fear. And I've gone through that the last few days and weeks. There's a fear. You're a grandparent, there's nothing you can do. You're worried about your baby. You're worried about your daughter. And there's nothing that you as a person can do. Just worry and pray and just hope everything turns out good and have faith. And I had much more faith before the pregnancy than I did after the birth. And I think a lot of that, I was diagnosed with a flu and had to stay in. I was quarantined. And you're just sitting there by yourself. You can't see anybody. I couldn't even see Missy. I was by myself for 5 days after this happened. And you just worry. You worry about the, and you understand you have no control over anything. But God has control. God has control. The entire pregnancy process is stressful. Mary's going to be the object to a lot of ridicule. And then there's like all the health things. And then a 9-month pregnant Mary is going to have to take a 93-mile ride on a horse from Nazareth to Bethlehem. Okay? So turn to Luke chapter 2. Remember, they were going to have to pay taxes. Everybody had to pay taxes. And at that time, under the heavy hand of Rome, Joseph couldn't say, well, I'll do that next year. I'll just pay back taxes. But my wife's getting ready to have a baby. She's like 9 months pregnant. That's tough. They got to be there. And I looked it up from Nazareth, where they lived, to Bethlehem, where they had to pay taxes, 93 miles. Well, they couldn't put her in the back of the car and let her be comfortable over in the passenger seat. This is 2,000 years ago. She's got to ride the back of a donkey or a horse, a 9-month pregnant young girl, 93 miles. I wouldn't have put Morgan on a horse from here to the square. I'd have worried myself to death. 9-month pregnant. We read this, we don't understand what they're going through. So Luke 2, verses 6 and 7. While they were there, the time came for her to give birth. So they've gotten there. So now they're saying, well, look, we'll get you there. We'll get a hotel. We'll put you up in the bed. You can be comfortable. You can rest. They don't even have that. After a 100-mile trip on the back of that donkey, they don't have that. It took time for her to give birth, and she gave birth for her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. So there was nothing about this that was pleasurable. There was nothing about it that was easy. There was nothing about it that give you any sense of comfort. God the Son came down, and everything about that pregnancy and that birth was as tough as it could get. But you understand, when I pray and when we pray, we're praying to a God who understands everything we've gone through. He's been there. He understands. Now, look at Matthew chapter 2. Well, now we've had the baby. Now things are going to get easy, right? Well, guess what? You know the story. This king of the Jews, Herod, hears it. Herod and all of Israel becomes very concerned. So Herod plans to kill Jesus. And when he couldn't find him, he killed what? All the other male babies under 2 years old. So Matthew 2, verses 13 through 15. Now when they had gone, the visitors come to see Jesus. Behold, an angel of the Lord. Jesus has just been born. Okay? An angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, get up, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. So here you are, 20 years old. Your wife's just had the baby. And the angel comes to you and says, guess what? The king's going to try to kill him. You're going to have to hide. He's the most wanted. America's most wanted, right? Number one, face up on a post office. Jesus is the one. Herod wants to kill him. Imagine, as a parent, you're already worried. I don't have to face things like that. Nobody in this room's had to face things like that. But Mary and Joseph have to do that. Joseph could have easily said, look, I've had enough. We went through all this. I've had enough. Or I don't believe it. But you've got to remember, they acted out of faith. They always did what the Lord asked them to do. Okay? So Joseph got up and took the child and his mother while it was still night and left for Egypt. He stayed there until the death of Herod. God took care of everything. Herod died. Jesus didn't die. Herod died. This happened so what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet would be fulfilled. Out of Egypt, I called my son. So the angel goes to Joseph and tells him to go back to Israel after Herod's death. Go down to verse 21 and 20 through 23. So Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Then after being warned by God in a dream, he left for the regions of Galilee and came and settled in a city called Nazareth. This happened so that what was spoken through the prophets would be fulfilled. He would be called a Nazarene. All of these things happen. Joseph has to face that Mary's pregnant. Not by him. Okay? He's blindsided. He doesn't know what's going on, right? He has to worry about Mary, all the ridicule that she's going to go through. She worries about the health of this. You have to take a 100-mile horse ride before the baby's born. Then you don't have a room. You have to have it in a manger. And then Herod wants to kill the baby. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but one who has been tempted in all things, just as we are about sin. Therefore, let us approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and grace for help at the time of our need. Let me ask you one question. What need do you have that's too big for God? What need do you have, no matter what you're going through? It could be family, it could be health, it could be finances, anything. What do you have that he's not gone through, that he's not experienced, that he's not too big for? God's greater than any issue that I have, and I, David Sisk, need to remember that when I throw a pity party today. I need to remember it, because it's coming. Sometime this week, it's coming. Lord, why has this happened? Why has this happened to me? Why does this happen to us? Why is it something all the time? Why does it happen? And God says, I've been through, Jesus, I've been through this. I've been through this. You can come to me because I can sympathize. It's here. He sympathizes with our weakness. I can sympathize. Not only do I care, not only can I answer it, I sympathize, I understand, I've been through it. You've got nothing in your life you're facing that's too big for God. You've got nothing in your life that you're facing that's too big for prayer. I know this. People in this church started praying for Morgan, and The blood pressure went down the lowest it's been since I've had the baby. So Missy called me before I came. People prayed. If people hadn't prayed, I don't think it would happen. The prayer, people are behind you. Remember this too. People are behind you in this church, no matter what you're going through. You've got people that will pray for you, and people that will love you, and people that will care. And I said this before Morgan had the baby. Every time I would get a text or a prayer or something from somebody, it was like the doctor himself came into the room and said, everything's going to be all right. Why don't I have that with everything? I needed to hear this. This is, I think, how come it didn't happen 2 weeks ago. I didn't need to hear it 2 weeks ago. I needed to hear it today. I don't think it's an accident. So, you're going to go through things too, Judy. You're going through things with your brother. Nothing's too big for God.
I just got a call, went out, and Cleo was in the room with him. He said, wait. And he said, you want to talk to him? And he put the phone up to Leo's ear, and his voice is very slurry. He has some paralysis on his left side. But he said, I'm ready to meet Jesus. That's whatever. And Cleo then took the phone back and said, he's already witnessed to everybody here.
Good. Good. There's nothing's too big. Christy, nothing's too big tomorrow. Of what, Jim's surgery, nothing's too big for God. Nothing's too big that the prayers won't answer. And no matter what your situation is, like I said, we all go through it. We all got to have people here that I pray for privately, that we pray for privately, and things that are maybe going through in your life, and you know you don't share that, and that's fine. You don't have to do that. Because God knows, and God cares, and God sympathizes. So who in the world is Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ came to earth in the flesh that we might have life, but not only have life, but have it more abundantly. That's what I've got to live in. The world doesn't have that promise, but the difference is I believe it and I live in it. And when I embrace that and believe it, my life becomes a lot more simpler. When I get out of that promise and get into myself, that's when it becomes difficult. That's when I worry. That's when it gets out of control and your mind can get out of control with you. So, Ms. Martha Jo, as you come and play today, understand that God the Son came to earth in a physical body, walked the earth, experienced everything we experienced, not only suffered and died for us and saved us from our sins, but experienced and went through everyday hurts and difficulties just like we go through. So when we have issues and we need to go to Him in prayer, we need help. What's it say? In our time of need, we find grace and mercy. We have time of need all the time. All the time. Go to Him. He cares. He's been there. Jesus cares for you. Martha Jo.